96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Cutlass, I gon' weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Bro, bro.
I'm a son
of that
boy. What happened? Huh? Straight to the Baton, right from Baton. What are you doing to me, Ben? Oh, hello. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine. Smoke Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Bro, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey. Many other nicknames. They call me Daddy. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And also, you can listen to us on Guardian Radio 969, Cable of Bahamas, and also live radio. I want to say a wonderful good night to each and every one of you. I hope that you will enjoy your Friday night, and I hope that we have a wonderful conversation tonight. Before we begin the show, we have two wonderful guests in studios. Everyone knows Nate the Great, Nathaniel McKinney. He's been absent. He's been very busy. He's changed his profession. He is in the Christianity world now. And he's given back tremendously to the country and to the next generation. And he's also providing a platform for many less fortunate kids around in the country. And also, we have a wonderful lady. She resides in the U.S. She has a long and beautiful portfolio in the nursing industry. But she's here today to discuss some of the life skills to the Bahamas. So, for ladies who are interested in the nursing industry, please have a pen and paper close to you. Be attentive, and this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful show here tonight. But before we get to our guests and they introduce themselves, I was just recently listening to the entire world talk about global warming and climate change. And I see our prime minister went off traveling to discuss the issue of climate change. He has discussed the issue on a few occasions traveling lately around the world, and climate change is a big issue that is plaguing our world. But the thing is, what I really get to understand, if we don't have good activism and activist persons who care about the country and care about the world, if it wasn't for these great people around the world, whether it's in the Bahamas, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Russia, Germany, anyone who fights for the protection of the environment, whether it's animals, dolphins, lions, tigers, trees, even the digging for oil. And all of this has affected us over the course of humankind, and it's destroying the earth. And the funny thing is, some people have been telling this for a very, very long time. And I just want to show you that there's great people in the world, and if we paid attention to these individuals, we wouldn't have been in this position today where we're threatened by inland flooding. Some countries are saying now, especially islands, would be flooded. They're afraid of the ice melting in the North Pole or the Arctic, which they feel is going to be catastrophic for the world and endangers, you know, a lot of people. And it's because of us burning fossil fuel, the same fuel that we take out the ground, the same oil. Now, that has actually polluted the earth, and it's causing the ice to melt, and other drastic things are happening, all because of this. And I just want to place a little message to the world of this great man, David Attenborough, who, to me, is one of the greatest, what I would call a man, environmentalist in the world. And if we did listen to him, we are listening now, we would be in a better position. Mr. Producer, could we play that message to the world?
Recently, at COP26, 120 nations came together in an effort to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. While a 1.5 degree rise will still bring significant changes with it, to stand any chance of saving what remains of our frozen planet and saving ourselves from the devastating consequences of its loss, we must stick to this commitment and honor it, no matter how challenging it might be.
We know that climate change is happening. We know the main driver of climate change is human activities, is human emissions.
As a whole human species, we are not recognizing the impact that we're having and the fact that we do need to do something.
But the important thing is that I believe all of these processes are reversible.
If everybody can make the effort of doing just one thing, reducing their carbon footprint.
Consume less, think about what we need, what we really want. Think more sensibly about the journeys we take, about the food we eat, how that's produced. Figure out a lifestyle that is sustainable.
And we're right at the point where we can generate all the power that we need from renewable sources like solar and wind. To do that, you need to really transform society as a whole.
We can speak to our representatives to try and reconsider energy policies.
If enough of us are educated about the effects of carbon in the atmosphere, even the most poorly educated politician will respond to what their citizenry wants.
The awareness and the concern is greater now than it ever has been. So that gives us some hope.
It won't be easy, but it's doable.
If you can do something about it, then do it. Instead of just thinking about it. If you can do something about it, then do it. We can do it. It's within our power.
And yes, he had been saying it for many, many years. He had been to many summits, engaged the world. And for many years, he was telling the importance of trees. He was telling the importance of our ants. He was telling the importance of each and every animal that God has made available for us here on earth. But we have overabused it. Many people don't know this. I believe that the earth that is in the earth is the blood of the earth. The earth itself is a living organism. And if we don't understand that the damage we're doing to it by killing the trees, by poisoning our oceans, of dumping nuclear waste, building nuclear bombs, and then we're dumping the waste in the ocean, killing the fishes, giving them cancer, then we consume it and give us cancer. You know, we are destroying ourselves. What the system is when we have all the sewers hook up and then we dump it in the ocean, you know, like all the bleach and how we use the bathroom and all the tissue, the detergents and all we wash, and we have this big thing that stores up all of the waste. And then what we do, eh? We take it and we dump it in the ocean. We pollute the ocean, we're killing the ocean, we're draining the earth, which is actually the blood of the earth, and causing earthquakes. You know, we're drilling. Punching holes in the earth, you know. We cut 9 trees if you look at it, in the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, we're seeing where the natives, you know, are fighting for their culture and their wilderness, and yet still we're seeing the timbers getting cut down. We're seeing animals being displaced. We're seeing extinction of animals. Do you know that one extinction of animal tells us a sign that if one can go, right? So indirectly, it'll be us. They say if the bees just die, it's the end of mankind. Simple as the bees. They say if the bees die, that's the end of mankind. Mm-hmm. Simple stuff. Even though I'm talking, saying the bees, right? And bees say, what? Yes, if the bees die, all the bees in the world die, the earth dies, because the bees pollinize all the trees. And they travel from parts of the world and countries, and they pollinize the trees and make them grow fruits and vegetables. Without the bees, that's it. Without vegetables and the trees, there would be no oxygen. Mm. But yet still, we're cutting down the trees. We ain't making no sense. You know, it reminds me of Captain Planet. I'm closing on this. It reminds me of Captain Planet. Right? I see you two were talking about it earlier on the studio. Mm-hmm. And Captain Planet shows you this. You know, Serge Knight represents a corporation. Captain Planet was the earth itself fighting back. It was a wonderful cartoon that used to come on ZNS. I mean, I always used to watch it and be intrigued by it. But it was very educational, and it tells you what we ought not to do. And we took that show off the air. And now look at us today. So we have two great examples. The late Sir David Adaman, and we used the Captain Planet. Those two right there was a pattern that we should have followed. Now we have to try to follow it now. I hope it's not too late. So I'm encouraging our prime minister, who speaks highly about climate change and global warming, oil drilling in Nassau. If he is so concerned about climate change, then the first thing he needs to take a look at and try to cancel is the oil drilling exploration going on in the Bahamas. Because the more we drill in the earth, we are killing the earth, we're taking the lubricant out of the earth, and the earth is going to fight back. So I just want you to know that everything is tied in. All right? And that's my 2 cents on the matter. You guys want to comment on the matter before we get to our topic? If I make any sense on it.
You make sense. I mean, the reality is bees pollinize the flowers. The plants won't be able to have food. And then we'd have a food shortage for mankind. So everything working according to the everything working according to good, according to the will of God, and it's God's will that that these animals and species of every kind, because when he made the earth, he made of every kind, made mankind, he made the bees and their kind, he made the fishes and the seas of their kind. So these kinds are very important, you know what I mean, to humanity. And we tend to, and then finally we tend to, what we tend to do is we are going in a slope for currency and money. So we now getting rid of we are using big mass production companies, like for instance we're still bringing diesel to the Bahamas and it's dangerous,
etc.
And fumigating our skies and so forth like that, and we have all this sun to actually deal with solar panels. So the corporations and the companies, it, at the end of the day, is all about money. You can't serve two masters, but everything at the end of the day boils down to currency. So what we've been doing, and along with other persons, but I can speak and contest to what me and Scrooge have been doing over the years since I've came in partnership with Scrooge, and before that I used to sponsor. And I didn't understand what he was doing at that level, but to have hundreds of little children playing ball late night, I mean, I thought it was crazy, but when I started, I realized, wow, they have nothing to do, right? So the thing is, it's not about money for the inner city for most of the time, because they don't know they poor until it's addressed through television and other things. So changing the network causes people to now start to thief and rob and be video vixen whores on TV and doing a whole bunch of a mess just to think that that's the reality of living. And also with our gentlemen, they think the reality is buying Jordans and gold chain, external blingers. That's all they could be at this point, because they don't have anything to shine in the inside. So they possess these things from watching TV. And Captain Planet, he's a hero. Bring pollution down to zero. They were our heroes, you know.
And they taught us how to clean.
Kauai and I forget some of the characters.
Yeah.
And Blanca or something like that, the girl.
Yeah.
So it changes over a period of time. Now the network, it's a multi, the media is a multi-million dollar industry. So young women are using, losing their, it's this thing tying from pollution, and they're polluting the earth.
Yes.
The humans are polluting the earth by using themselves to pollute the earth. So,
Me making no sense.
I remember one time when we was doing a radio show together, we was doing a broadcast together, you said, and it hit me off guard, because people really don't understand where you're coming from sometimes, because you're deep, you know? And I'm with you, and that's why a lot of time, you know, Robin and Batman, we there for one another. But the reality, you said when COVID hit, Jay, this is a pandemic. And man, I was in with the world too. So you said a pandemic, and you got mad at the audience. Like basically, man, say it's been a, and the reality was we was in a pandemic. You say pandemic, it's a pandemic. Man, hey, poverty is a pandemic. So we've been in a pandemic before, and you just went off. And you say we was in a pandemic before the pandemic. Say where we at now is the pandemic. so that was so profound and divine at the same time. So I'm here to give you revelation on what I know is that we're polluting the earth ourselves from what we're given. We're given a lot of toxic things to the atmosphere, and attributing to high crime rates, prostitution, gang. And everything that you can, because
and your health ties into that.
Exactly.
The way you eat ties into that.
Everything. So we are polluting.
What you consume.
We're polluting ourselves.
Yes.
We're polluting one another.
Yes.
So but do you think these people have respect? If you don't have respect for me and you, we don't have respect for one
environment.
Another. You think you have respect for the environment?
Why do you think a lot of cancer run? They drop a lot of nuclear waste in Bahamian waters. And they're telling you this now.
Millions
this
of tons. The companies they do tons and tons of this.
Blue the fish.
But you know, now you know we like to talk within the city. So I like to tie things together and all come together to make sense. The reality is we're dropping a lot of waste in our face right now.
Yeah.
The way you dress, your language, your character.
All this.
And everything speaks to pollution, and we're polluting one another with toxic mentalities. And now, remember, we just always say the murder count is a part of our culture. And you know, some people, they live in a different world.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Bahamas, because the reality is that's what we made it, because we pay attention to it. We pay too much attention to it and we highlight it. And then we allow these guys to walk on ZNS television and actually have a red carpet. And then our politicians, we do the same with them. We give them a red carpet. They don't do a good job. We give them a red carpet. Society, bankers, white collar crime and all this stuff you've been covering over the years. So, you know, it's still a matter of fact that life haven't finished with washing up yet. You know, life still have a lot of laundry and load to wash. But I put it like this, let's deal with us. Let's deal with you. You deal with yourself and eventually you can deal with the smaller things that God gave you to take care of.
Yeah, and closing, I want to say this again. To the Honorable Prime Minister, you're traveling to the summit. Right now, the UN is United Nations are kind of undecided because they're having problems negotiating on the issues surrounding the war in Ukraine and Russia. So they want to work on the global. They want to focus on climate change and global warming, but they're distracted right now. So it leaves us as activists to reach our politicians, like the late great Sir David was saying. Let's advocate. You know, we have to advocate to the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That since you're talking on climate change, right? Digging for oil is one of the biggest climate change disasters that possibly could happen in mankind now, especially if we get the sun, when we could go to solar, and then we could build turbines, okay? So we don't need to have fossil fuel. Fossil fuel in turn goes in the car, diesel, gas, and that goes up in the air. People were wondering what happened when the COVID-19 outbreak in China. The reason it really spread, because the atmosphere of the pollution in China, okay? The atmosphere, that's why the virus was able to spread so much in China. That's what people don't understand, because the atmosphere was polluted of all the cars and et cetera in China. Notice when they put the restriction on and no cars were allowed to ride and people were put on lockdown. You saw the skies clear up in China for the first time. They said that was the first time after the COVID-19 that the skies of China cleared up because of the restrictions. And that's the first time people were breathing good oxygen. And yet still, they have not doing the right thing as to bring down their emission. You understand? So I just wanted to say that. And that's my two cents. So I'm saying to the Prime Minister of the country, we don't need no more oil drilling in this country. Let's protect the mangroves. Let's protect the lands where the trees are. That's why I'm not for people cutting down the trees and national problems for coal. Let's get rid of coal. We don't need no one chopping down our pine trees and our trees to produce coal. That's a no-no. Let's get rid of that. And let's get rid of this big issue of digging for oil. And let's try to go to alternative measures like turbines and solar and et cetera. Now let me get to my guests here in the studios. I have a wonderful guest. She's traveling to the U.S., but we want to play a fleck and let her speak for herself before we get her to introduce herself.
Shawana Moore, and I'm going to complete a presentation on utilizing nurse mentorship education to support healthy growth of adolescent females. So I have no conflicts of interest in relation to this presentation. I always like to disclose that I am the mother of this lovely little boy. So the objectives of this presentation are as follows. You'll be able to understand the importance of nurse mentorship for adolescent females. You'll be able to explore one example of a nurse-led mentorship program for adolescent females. And you'll be able to identify key components of a nurse mentorship program for adolescent females. The purpose of this specific presentation is to disseminate the importance of nurse mentorship and education in supporting the healthy growth of adolescent females. So some background information about this topic area. So education is really an important part of overall health. It serves as a protective factor related to health issues. It is linked to a higher level of education among individuals are more likely to have better outcomes when compared to those who have lower education levels. So we see connection here. When we look at education as the center of it, we know that education can impact economics, it impacts health behaviors, social, physiologically, it has an impact, and it can impact healthcare access pathways. So why does it matter? So we know that the first 5 years from infancy to kindergarten can truly impact the individual both physically, mentally, as well as socially. and their ability to learn. So currently within the Philadelphia area, nearly one in two school children start kindergarten behind their peers, and 44% of third graders are not reading at their grade level. We also know that low-income parents are typically unable to provide funding towards extracurricular enrichment programs that could be empowerment programs, STEM-based education, and this further widens the gap of achievement, and particularly when it comes to performance in math and science. And also because of this, the trend tends to continue with middle school and junior high school, and it affects high school graduation rates. So how does this impact adolescent females specifically? We know that adolescent females are a vulnerable population. They're at risk for sexually transmitted infections, substance abuse, suicide. They have higher rates of eating disorders, and they suffer from higher rates of depression when compared to their male counterparts. So what can we do about this? How can we help contribute to change in this in these areas? So I developed a Girls Empowerment Program to help promote self-awareness among underserved adolescent females within the greater Philadelphia metropolitan area. The research question for this specific program focused on, does a female adolescent mentoring program impact confidence and self-concept within teenage females? Activities emphasize and develop around six core values, which includes creativity, confidence, self-esteem, leadership, health, mentoring, and education. Each participant was paired or assigned to a graduate women's health gender-related nurse practitioner student at Jefferson College of Nursing throughout their duration in the program. iPad technology was utilized to deliver the sessions as well as the form of communication tool between a mentor and mentee, which occurred on a weekly basis via text, email, video, or audio. And their mentor communication time really focused on the weekly themes. Mentor and mentees were matched using a brief like background information, so we pair individuals that we thought would have a good mentorship relationship.
Okay, that's just a little brief introduction that we played just now. Miss Morris in studios now, and let me get a little bit of a background. So you live in the United States of America.
Yes.
You reside in, what do you say, New York?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, excuse me.
Yeah, but I'm from the East Coast, so originally from the Philadelphia, New Jersey area.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. And your field?
Yes, so I am a women's health nurse practitioner by training. So all of my education has been in nursing. I have a bachelor's degree in biology, however, a bachelor's degree in nursing, a master's degree in nursing, and then a doctoral degree in nursing, as well as a PhD in nursing as well.
Wow. So... Yeah, Girls Empowerment Mentorship Program. Why Girls Empowerment Mentorship? Why girls?
Yeah, so that really hits to the core of who I am. I grew up in an inner city in New Jersey called Camden, New Jersey, a very poor, impoverished city. Probably in maybe at least 10 to 15 years ago, was considered one of the poorest cities in the U.S.
Atlanta?
No, in Camden, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, so I come from those backgrounds, and I understand... what mentorship did for me early on. So I had the opportunity to participate in some enrichment programs that were offered by like local universities, one being Rutgers University, that really focused on getting girls into STEM education, so like science and math. So I was a nerd. Mm-hmm. So I was very smart, right? So I was able to use my smarts to kind of get access to programs, right? People kind of take a look at you like, hey, you seem smart. This is a program you may want to be interested in. So, again, my goal was always to give back to communities I came from just because I know what such programs have done for me. So I wanted to design my own program to be able to give back to communities.
Wow. So why are you visiting Nassau, Bahamas, along with your friend Nate DeGrade? Why are you here in the Bahamas?
So I think it's by divine. I actually traveled here in September for a friend's birthday, and we were out and about, and we met Mr. McKinney, and... had a conversation and learned about his passion and his nonprofit, Dream Chasers for At-Risk Youth. And I'm like,
similar.
I'm like, we have a similar passion. So I'm like, this has to be divine. Like, you don't just meet somebody that has a similar interest.
Yeah,
and again, I've been trying to get the program in Jamaica for some time now. Some things fell through just because it's on a university. But I'm like, God put me directly to the person that I can talk to who can give me a yes or no. And he said yes. So I'm just like, okay, let's make this happen. So, yeah, we are going to launch the first cohort for the Girls Empowerment Program in partnership with Dream Chaser at Risk Youth this January, right after the holidays, for 1 week. I'll be here on site to facilitate the program with Mr. McKinney. We're working on having some great funding for the program. We already have pretty much all of the resources, so like the iPads, all of like the products and materials that the young ladies will receive. So working on getting some additional funding just to be able to make sure it's a truly exemplar program, because my goal is to really have it sustainable within his organization and something that he can offer at least three times a year.
Three times a year.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, what are we a part of the adolescent training?
Sure. So we focus on six core values. One is creativity. The second one focuses on leadership. The third one focuses on mentorship. The fourth one focuses on health. Fifth one is self-esteem and self-confidence. And the final one is leadership.
Let's talk about the health part.
Sure.
And then we can talk about the self-esteem, because these two tie in. I like these two. Tell us about why it's so important about the health part of it for adolescents, young ladies.
Yeah, so the health of adolescents, girls, are really critical early on. Education is key. And I know it varies. I know in the U.S. from state to state what you can and can't teach to school-based children when it comes to their overall health. Mm. But essentially, the education focuses on a lot with menstrual hygiene.
Hygiene means your armpit,
et cetera. And your period. So yes. Those conversations sometimes aren't held within households or within school systems. So we provide curriculum that is evidence-based and allows young ladies to understand what that means, right? And we provide resources. So we have big menstrual kits that gives at least 3 months' supply of menstrual products. And my hope is that it'll be something that's sustainable, where they can go straight to Gene Chasers to pick up their menstrual products. It's just freely accessible. So I'm hoping that's something that we'll be able to get lots of funding for. I have a community partner in Philadelphia that opened up the first menstrual hub internationally. So we have some synergies there, but that's my hope. But we provide a lot of education on menstrual hygiene, overall hygiene, prevention of early sexual debut, so early onset of sexual intercourse, right? The biggest thing is prevention. Mm. So we talk about that. We talk about the importance of not engaging in at-risk behavior in terms of engaging with groups of people that may not do so good things, right? So that can place you at risk for substance use disorder, right? So drinking early, right? Maybe using marijuana early, right? Mm-hmm. So we try to have protective factors so young ladies can understand what are the long-term effects of these, right? And although it may seem cool and this is the thing to do, we try to prevent that from happening with education, right? The other thing is, because this young ladies who go through the program, they will be paired with advanced practice nursing students in the U.S. that'll serve as their one-on-one mentors. The mentors are able to reinforce the curriculum that they learn throughout the week-long program. And my hope is that even though the program only lasts for a week, that they can keep these mentors throughout their lifetime, right? I'm like, we've all had some sort of mentorship throughout our life, and people come and go, but I've had mentors that have been around for at least 20 years. So my hope is that it can be something that's sustainable over time, and they can have lifelong mentorships.
It's very important, because we always talk about the males, you know. The females have gone out of character now, so it's good that programs like this could teach them how to be feminine again, you know.
Sure.
Because when you're talking about hygiene, you know, when you're talking about the menstrual, there's complications happen differently to different women when their period comes on.
Yeah.
So you teach them about the different aspects of that also, and how to take care of themselves, and then if you feel a little cramp or et cetera, so you guys are going to do the full nine.
Absolutely, yard. And we provide some remedies. So like there's some tea you can take when you have the menstrual cramps, some menstrual products that are really geared towards helping with cramps. So they have like natural aloe in there, cucumber, lavender that can help soothe a woman who's having her menstruation and having cramps. Talk about that, and we try to normalize the conversation. And the other thing I want to say just about menstrual, right, and periods, I think the other thing is menstrual inequity, right? So
menstrual
inequity.
Inequity. Mm-hmm. What's that? What's the last? Yeah. That's a big word.
Menstrual. So where I come from, there's disparities, right, in terms of every person who's menstruated doesn't have access to the same menstrual product.
Okay.
So we have young ladies who won't go to school because they're menstruating.
Okay.
We have young ladies who will use socks, newspaper.
Oh, wow.
Products.
That is very harmful.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But the biggest thing is they don't have a choice.
I understand. I understand.
So how do we Yes. So how do we change that? So again,
programs like this.
Exactly.
And how I'm to a local organization inside the inner city
with Dream Chasers.
Partnership in.
Exactly.
And then we have the connection from the US
exactly.
to you and then Nate and then the community myself. Yes,
exactly.
I
and the biggest thing is that it's sustainable. So like I never want to go into a community and say, okay, here's the program, this is a one off. Boop, boop, and go about my way. No, it's about sustainability in programs. So the great thing about this program is it doesn't cost a lot of money to run. Mm. And I made sure I designed it that way.
Wow.
Because when I leave communities, I want to make sure they still can run the program, even if I'm not in place, right? And they can run it with minimum resources. So I think that's the other thing is when you are implementing programs and creating partnerships with organizations that you truly ensure that it's a sustainable program, that even if you weren't in that place, that that organization can continue to run that program so it's sustainable. And it really impacts communities, right? I'm like, one-offs they do, it's great, but having something where generations of young ladies can go through, I mean, that's where you get the biggest change and biggest impact.
Yeah, and they could use that leadership.
Call them type of programs, we in school jobs call them step five, because they come around every now and then.
Yeah.
You understand? They baby daddy programs. So you're only available when they get funding for one particular project or program once a year. And then me and school is stuck with these ducky land kids throughout the entire year, year after year, year after year. And I told him one time, he had his kid. And I said, school, let's fly down to meet your son, BJ. School said, man, I ain't got time. I said to him, and he got upset on air. I said, we love these children more than we love our own children. It took him like 2 months later to say, bro, we don't lie, no. Because I don't have time for my own son. But if you check Scrooge House early in the morning, this it bring tears to the eye. Nonstop. I talk him for the simplest of products that they come
every
for.
Day.
Sugar, dollar, 25 cents. You know, just being a father to the community, hats goes off to Valentino Brown.
You too, my brother.
Like maintaining that, because I have restrictions. You know,
that's some help for some people.
I have restrictions.
You,
you have to come to the program to get some of the resources. You can't just.
That's a shortcut.
You can't just try to come around me, because Scoogey always thought like I was super tough sometimes, but you realize like working together, there's always. It's always protocol, the kingdom of God, our protocol. But our kids in the community, they feel privileged when they have us. And I thank God for allowing us to be in their life.
Wow, awesome.
It's amazing.
I want to get on this point. Depression. When you say depression, you know, you talk about a lot of different components to your program. But you're also talking about the difficulties of the individual. You know, you're talking about the menstrual cycle. You're talking about the health. You know, you also talk about empowerment. So what about the depression? When you say depression, what do you mean depression?
Yeah, so based on the data.
Data.
Yes. And this is globally.
Globally.
Yeah.
This is statistically around the world.
Around the world.
Okay, let's go with this.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent females have higher incidence of mental health disorders. And
could you hold that 1 second?
Sure.
You hear what this lady just said? We have a mental health issue. Now, she has given statistics that is being analyzed around the world, various countries. And this is a statistic they can't come up with. Could you repeat that one more time for
sure.
me?
Sure. So globally, around the world, we know that adolescent females have higher incidence of mental health disorders. And the two I want to just kind of focus on, and this is based on the World Health Organization, so WHO, the mental health disorders are depression and anxiety. So they suffer disproportionately higher rates when compared to our male counterparts. And again, I think adolescence is a really critical age where things are changing, right? Menstruation start, hormones change, you have peer pressure occurring, you may have socioeconomic factors that can be impacting your growth and development. So all those things, I think, play a key into that statistics. So my hope is that this program helps decrease rates of mental health disorder. It hasn't been proven to do so. However, I do use a validated tool for research in this program. It's called Hatter's Adolescent Profile, where it measures 9 domains.
9 domains.
Yes, 9 domains. And those domains, the ones I measure all of them. But it's been shown that individuals who participate in a program have increased. And one of the biggest things is in self-esteem
your self-esteem build back up because you're assisting them, empowering them, you're assisting them with their health, you're teaching them what to do, and more like someone to look up to.
Exactly. And we know that, well, I shouldn't say we know. The literature tells us that adolescent females who have lower rates of self-esteem tend to engage in riskier
sexual intercourse. This leads to them making unwise choices.
Exactly. And they have higher rates of depression, anxiety. And I want to be
higher depression and anxiety, more than the males.
Sure. And yes, that's true.
Boy, Nate, I'm glad you bring this lady in. You know, the males, we tend to have, like, we had 100 murders this year, right? And then in between there, we had a few females who was involved in murders around the country. So even though the females have not created that much criminal activities, but by your statistics, you were saying that they are more depressed than those males who are out there. Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, so they have higher rates of it.
Wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I was saying this. I didn't have no statistics, but just by me hanging around in the neighborhoods, we saw the girls out there getting so rough and tough in the neighborhood, and we noticed this.
Okay.
And me and Nate noticed this, but when we were saying it to the general public, like, people wouldn't understand you. Now, I'm glad that you are a trained professional and you have the statistics. But where far were you saying that our ladies are at risk more than the males in this country?
Yeah, so the population.
Hennessy straight up.
Well, it's a population that I think has not been a focus of a lot of places. So it's important for primary prevention programs to be put in place to help reduce risk for certain negative health outcomes.
Well, negative health outcomes. So let me ask you a question. So these ladies who are depressed and have their health issues and they have an anxiety problem, just say if they were to get pregnant at an early age, do you think this transmits to the kids, or this is going to have is it going to make a difference on how the child perform? Or you understand what I'm saying? Sure.
Yeah. So I understand completely. The other thing I would just want to say
go ahead.
This is perfect. So mental health disorders normalize the conversation around it, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of mental health disorders are genetic, right? So
genetic means it's passed on.
Exactly. So if you have a family history of mental health disorders, and they ask women when they're going for pregnancy care, what family disorders do you have? And mental health is something we ask. So as a woman's health MP, I care for the birthing population, right? And that's a question that I ask because, again, the literature shows us that when you have a significant family history of mental health disorders, you may be at greater risk of not only yourself, but even birthing the child that has a mental health disorder. Wow. So, yeah, it could place the unborn child for at risk for mental health disorders.
Because you said it's passed on from the genes.
It could, absolutely. Mental health disorders are.
So it's inherited.
Like, just like hypertension, diabetes, right? It's the same thing with mental health.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy. So you aim to... Let me talk with you empowerment now, because see, you knock all the components. You're talking about health, you're talking all the stuff, but now you're talking empowerment.
Yeah.
But you're adding empowerment to this too.
Add empowerment to it, and I play with that word a lot because I think, so in my role as the facilitator and founder of the program.
Who's that?
So in my role as the facilitator and the founder of the program, I don't say I empower people. I look at myself as somebody who amplifies the voices of communities of people, right? Mm-hmm. People empower themselves.
I like that.
Yeah, because that's how it's like. I don't give you power. You have your own power. Yes. You have to recognize that you empower yourself.
Take the opportunity that I'm presenting to you. Yes.
So you're right. It's them. They empower themselves, right?
And save yourself.
Exactly. And this program helps give you resources and tools to be able to do so confidently. So I don't look at myself as the savior, right? Mm. These individuals who are going to participate in the program, they have talents, right? They have attributes. They have characteristics that can help them be successful young women, right? Mm. How do we allow them to see that, right, and help grow that and amplify that so they see that within themselves and go out there to be productive individuals and do exceptional things in their lives?
Wow. exceptional things like what you're doing. Tell us your background again. Let me hear all the list of plume you got. Listen, let me hear all the list of plume you got and the position you hold.
So I'm an associate professor at Emory University. That's in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the number two nursing program in the U.S.
Number two?
Number two in the U.S. And I direct their doctor of nursing practice, which is the number six doctoral program in the U.S. So the school is ranked number two nationally, and then the program I direct is number six. So very high-level school, exceptional people within that specific institution. I also serve as the president of the National Association of Nurse Practitioners and Women's Health. I'm the first woman of color, so the first African-American woman to hold this position in the organization's 42-year history. So it's been around for a while, and I'm the first black woman to sit in this role. Great position. I've been able to do some really exceptional things, especially around like equity. That's my passion, ensuring that things are done within a lens of equity. That's important. I'm like, equity in all that we do, because without that, people don't get what they need out of healthcare, right? Out of education, out of policy, and out of research. So I always try to lead with all things equity. And if you're not looking at it through that lens, how can I help you rethink it?
Wow, that's amazing. So how did you get to our beautiful Nassau, Bahamas?
Yeah, so honestly, I came out here in September for a friend's birthday, and we came to celebrate her birthday. She's actually from St. Kitts and Nevis. Her name is Chanel.
What's that?
St. Kitts and Nevis.
St. Kitts and Nevis. Where's that?
Yeah, that's where she's from. It's a Caribbean island.
I know, yeah, but
you never heard of St. Kitts? St. Kitts.
Yes, St. Kitts.
St. Kitts.
Yes, okay.
And Nevis.
Okay. Yes, I heard
about
it.
She's from Nevis. She told me to give her a shout out. Chanel Claxton, shouting you out, Nelly.
Okay, that's excellent. Now give her a shout out. Yes, that's excellent.
Yeah, she's from Nevis, so we came to celebrate her birthday. And that's what brought us to Bahamas. But I like to say God brought us to Bahamas, because so much more came out of it. I got to meet Nate the Great. I got to meet Nate the Great.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. I ran into him, and then I said, who are you? He was like, I'm Nate. I said, oh, Nate the Great. This is before I knew they called him Nate the Great. I'm Nate the Great. I was like, he said, you Google me. And I'm like, Googled you? Why would I Google you?
It just rhymed.
Yeah, I just said it.
He ain't too smart.
He ain't
too smart.
Yeah, so he said, you Google me. I'm like, no, I ain't Google you. I said, who are you? He said, I'm nobody. I said, oh, no, you're somebody. And I said, everybody's somebody, right?
Yes.
But we had this like very natural conversation and engagement, and led to us learning about his organization and me sharing about the program I started, and then figuring out ways we can collaborate. And we figured it out, and I'm excited this program up and launch within his nonprofit organization.
You don't have to worry about that. Trust me, you're in good hands. And then I know he's going to give me a little something to do, so you're in good hands. I think that we need that in the inner city community. We need it in the Bahamas as a whole. And, you know, the program will be very, very beneficial to us here in the country, because you're talking the stuff and having the program that we need to have in the country and the discussion we need to have. And the thing is, you have adolescents, females, substance abuse, depression, empowerment, you know, and you're talking about all these important stuff that some of these females today don't get that from their pairs, like their mom or their grandmother, because some of them could come out of single homes and probably their pairs don't even have the finance, you know. And you said earlier that, you know, it's going to be sustainable. So when you say sustainable, that means once the program starts here in Arsenal Providence, you're going to be able to keep it sustained through the course, and as it grows, it's going to
Absolutely. The only way I'll go away is Nate if he kicks me off the team.
No, that can't happen. So important, especially the program, because see, in the country, we have to focus on prevention.
Yeah, that's important. Measure. Primary prevention.
But what's so divine when you talk about sustainability, it was actually when I was in Dubai for the 5 months.
Someone to know you've been in Dubai.
Yeah, you know that. You have to express. You know, your value go up. No, value go up. So you have to put that on the airwaves now.
Yeah,
you know?
You've been in Dubai.
Think we're still in the bottom.
3 months.
You didn't grow.
Three months?
Yeah, they had 5 months. I'm saying it's so divine, you know, that I was in the sustainability market.
Yeah.
So I was actually promoting
and selling the Bahamas in the sustainability market.
So, you did wonderful.
So thanks, I appreciate it. Yeah. But when you say sustainability, it does take me back down to the sustainability district. And what's so important is that not only when you start see, and this is divine also in every way. And I, like I say, God have His way. I'm telling you, again, for you to actually talk about the planet, if you check Germany and some of these other wealthy countries,
they're cleaning up.
What they are doing to their environment in terms of the habit what was already done, in terms of their energy system, renewal this,
they're trying this.
I'm talking about some things, bro, that I never saw in my life. Even, I mean, matter of fact, Dubai take the salt water and turn it into fresh water because they don't have water. So all their salt water, they have salt water plants that they use for fresh water. So it's so much things at the end of the day when it comes to sustainability. So we can sustain it.
Yeah, it'll be sustainable unless he gets rid of me.
We had a few people calling in. I guess they want to congratulate this wonderful lady. Other than that, we're going to take this call and see what they have to say. Go ahead, caller, because we really want this. We really want to get the information out of you so that we can pass this on for the inner city and those who live in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Go ahead, caller, you're on it inside the inner city.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
We're fine.
Good stuff, man. Enjoying the conversation tonight. Really enlightening. I'm driving. I'm going to pull over right now, so please pardon me.
But No problem.
It's imperative that I call in, man.
Go ahead, sir.
So I want to also say good evening to your guest.
Good evening.
And I think it takes a community, man, and that's what you guys are hinting at. And to be able to help persons, organizations, and really be able to support them in terms of giving them the appropriate tools, resources, etc.
Yes, sir.
I think that is what the good lady is there, and that's what she brings to the table. Pardon me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to connect. I'd like for your producer, if you can, to take my number off
see,
there.
I think it's a way code.
I'm very much desirous of putting a program in place impacts our youth and all of the positive bosses that you would object. I love the examples of the different, what I would describe as modules.
Yes.
You know, the different segments that, you know, you can impact lives and change people's perspectives and help them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are so impacted as a society by these instances of, you talked about depression and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really and truly want to be able to make an impact, and I want to start something like this. And I think are the person, you are the conduit, you're the one that your organization and yourself
can really
help someone like myself in terms of the
excellent.
I appreciate that. I think that's fantastic, and I think that's what it's all about. It takes a village, right?
Yes, so, it takes a village.
Yeah, yep. I'm happy to connect and support in any way, and I can leave my information.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Fantastic.
You can leave a name, a number at the producer caller, and as soon as the show finish, she will receive it, and Nate would also have it too, and then you guys can connect. That's what we do on Guardian Radio.
And there's another another point I just want to make really
quickly. Go ahead,
sir. And I'll hang up and listen to you folks. Thank you all so much for sharing the information tonight, by the way.
My pleasure.
In this country, in our particular happenstance, we need a revolution in this country, man, right? There are some things that really, really need to be fixed, and it starts with our young people. They're the future. And also, again, I'm so thankful and delighted to hear you guys' this conversation tonight. And I look forward to being able to connect with your good lady there in studio. I didn't get the name, pardon me, but I just heard a little segment of what you guys were talking about tonight.
She got to give her a name. You can say her name one more
time. Sure. So my formal name is Dr. Shawana Moore, but I go by Shawana.
Shawana.
Yes.
It's a pleasure, ma'am.
It's a pleasure as well to meet you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you ever so much. Have a good night.
Okay. You can stay online and the producer will get your number and your information, and then you'll share it. Thank you very much for calling. You did a wonderful job. And we're here. When this platform was given to me on Guardian Radio, they told me they wanted to find the inside stuff and find solutions for the country's problem. And what we do here is we do that, and we provide the platform. Nate goes on, he brings these wonderful people in. I bring wonderful people in from around the country. And combined together with the information given, we reach other people, and you see the connection. And like you say, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Nate met her. Now she's here in the studio now. The gentleman who was listening to the show, he wants to be a part of, and he wants to start a program of that. And that's when we reach one, teach one.
Yeah.
You know, that's very important. What we need to keep on doing in this country and in the world at hand to make a difference. We have one more caller. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Oh, they left? Okay. So where we were at?
We're talking about connecting minds, eh?
Okay, yeah. So you're also going to teach, you're going to teach nursing?
Yeah, so
tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think the other key component of the program is, so I don't know the stats internationally, but nationally within the U.S., there's a lack of diversity within the nursing workforce and in the healthcare workforce in general, right? Uh-huh. So I want to use this program to provide a platform to give education on career pathways within the health industry.
Career pathways.
Mm-hmm. Specifically looking at nursing, right? The more diversified this profession is, the better health outcomes, and that's supported by data, right? We know that when somebody looks like somebody, when somebody comes from that same culture, mm-hmm. the care they receive is much better as well as their health outcomes.
Wow.
So I'm hoping I utilize the program to provide information on career pathways within healthcare, but I don't limit it to that, right? Because every individual who comes in may not have a healthcare interest, right? But we do provide that education on nursing specifically as well as other healthcare professions. But my hope is that individuals who go through the program do consider a profession in nursing in the future.
And some of the profession in nursing, like we talk about the tourism industry, right? Mm-hmm. But people don't know that Bahamians, we are not even top in the tourism industry because there's jet ski, you know, riding jet ski, Airbnb, selling Fendek Bahamian artifacts, restaurants. It's so many different components to tourism that we have not even hit the nail on it. So what I'm saying is, in a nursing field,
mm-hmm.
how many different character, like just say, if I'm a nurse, right?
Oh, that's the diversity of the profession. Oh, you can do so much. So
no, give us a little quick.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick overview. So you can work in an inpatient, so hospital. Those are typically what you say traditional roles. Mm-hmm. You can be in ambulatory, so those are outpatient practices.
Yes.
People go into education. Some people may go into research or policy. When you think about specialty areas, they can mm-hmm. specialize in neonatal care, so cares of small babies.
Cares of small babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Usually within a hospital setting for neonatal. Pediatrics, right?
I heard about pediatrics.
Yeah, so women's health and gender related. So usually person care, so women coming for cervical cancer screenings, mammograms, mm. as well as gynecological disorder treatments. Adult primary, meaning outpatient. People coming in for maybe chronic conditions.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension.
Mm-hmm. You could be in acute care setting. So usually that's more so hospital-based, so like ICUs mm-hmm. for patients who may have critical conditions. Mental health is another area. Mm-hmm.
All this is a part of nursing.
You
see the field? I tell you, there's so many different fields.
Home care.
Home care, man's home.
Mm-hmm. Wound care. So individuals who have wounds, you have nurses specialize in providing wound care and have certification that allows them to do so. Rehab, so rehabilitation,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
both physically as well as, I think, by substance use disorders within, inpatient or outpatient treatment areas. Case management. There are so many roles for nurses. I'm like, you're not limited to one place or one setting, and I think that's the beauty of it. If I picked up tomorrow and say, listen, I'm done with women's health, I may want to go into peds, I can do that.
You can do that.
I could do that.
So you have options. Even though when you're in this field, you have options because you still could always keep on studying and getting a best.
You can. Mm-hmm. And then so when you're at the RN level, the beauty of that is typically you don't need specialized certification. Mm-hmm. Usually you get trained on the job. When you become an advanced practice nurse, right, you'll have to go back to get a certification. Mm-hmm. But I think there's diversity in that. So, I'm in women's health, gender-related healthcare, right? And I work at an outpatient OBGYN where we see obstetric patients as well as gynecologic patients.
Mm-hmm. That means you're dealing with babies?
So pregnant women or birthing people.
I had a gynecologist. Mm-hmm. That's our prime minister, former prime minister, gynecologist.
Oh, fantastic. And so if I wanted to go to do maybe infertility, so to help people get pregnant, I can go into infertility.
It makes teach people how to get pregnant.
So not teach them, but a system.
A system.
Exactly.
Excellent. Let mm-hmm. me get like private. Yeah. Get access. Yeah. Oh, how are you going to help them? Let me get this done.
Oh, so it's IVF treatment that they go through. Mm-hmm.
It's a treatment.
Yeah. It can be a lot, though. Or you can go into some other areas like gynecological cancer, so mm-hmm. GYN oncology.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into high-risk pregnancy, so MFM, maternal fetal medicine. I wouldn't need to go back to school for that, right? But if I wanted to go be a pediatric nurse practitioner, I would have to go get a certificate to become that.
You don't let us say, I don't have an idea what you're talking about, but I have a... But I understand everything you said. I understand. I'm only joking.
You're
an OBGYN. So I'm a WHMP, board certified. Yes. So the difference is, so I am a nurse practitioner by training. I don't know here in the Bahamas if we... nurse practitioners or advanced practice nurses.
That's a practitioner. When they say practitioner, I have understand what practitioner are for the or listening audience. What is a layman practitioner?
Yeah, so how can I say
you're
it?
On the field.
So it's an advanced practice nurse. So I'm advanced. A registered nurse as well.
Kind of could subscribe medicine.
But
and
I
so
prescribe
far.
Medication.
Wow, you're more like getting to the doctor stage.
I have a doctor's. Ooh. I'm not a physician, but
okay.
I have a doctor's.
Yeah, you could prescribe.
Uh-huh. I have, but well, you can have a master's and still prescribe.
Okay.
My doctorate is equivalent to an MD.
I know
PharmD.
Yes.
Is what is equivalent to. It's
I
a practice focused.
But I used to watch it on TV. Yeah,
so it's a practice focused degree for in nursing for advanced practice nurses.
Okay.
How can I say? I'm going to do a nice graphic too to help explain it.
Okay.
But yeah, so. I always say I'm a nurse practitioner. So I care for women and the gender-related population throughout their life cycle for all their women's health care needs. Mm-hmm. I have that legal authority to do so. I prescribe and manage conditions, right? I collaborate with my as well.
Oh, to see what the problem is.
Yeah, in some states.
Diagnose the problem if you don't have a clear.
And in some states, I can practice completely alone where I don't have to collaborate. However, you should never be in silo. You should always collaborate with your colleagues.
Yes.
Whether it be a pharmacy, a physical therapist, a physician.
That's a backup line.
Well, it's important. I'm like, healthcare isn't done by one person, right? It's a team, including the patient.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So.
So you have anything in OBGYN?
Yeah, so I care for obstetric patients as well as gynecological patients. Mm.
So you would have, technically, you have a degree in it, or?
I do. So I have a master's degree, and I'm certified as a women's health nurse practitioner. So I took a national exam.
I think you concentrate so much on the nurse's practitioner. I think you just need to label all of your credentials separately.
All of them separately. Yeah, because it's a lot of pieces.
Yeah, but then write it separately. I mean, because in the Bahamas, you know, some people are very classism.
And
a conversation can change. All they have to do is say, well, I'm such and such, right? Like, my conversation is like, hey, yeah, I went such and such, right? Or you can say, I'm a OBGYN. I am a doctorate in nurse's practitioner. But separate it. If you separate it, think it make more sense to us because you have a long title. Because when I saw your title at one of your speaking engagement, I say, what the heck is this? I say they trying to figure it out. So there was a lot of I think it was OW or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw a D, I see a
DMP,
DMP or some, and then I saw this other titles and such, and I was like, what's going on? And I was
that's
like, and then the thing was, they had a doctor on, and I said, the doctor only had like 3 pieces, we had like 10. When they can stop.
So that's the biggest thing. I feel like even early on, educating the public about degrees, right? So people sometimes only think MDs are like the doctors, and I'm like, no, you could be a doctor of a lot of professions, right? So I think that's the tricky thing with us is like we're in healthcare.
Because some doctors can't save you. Seriously, because you have a doctor's degree doesn't mean that you could just, you know, you deal with medicine.
Yeah, it depends on what the doctor's
yeah,
is.
You have a doctor
right?
in anything.
Exactly, that's the biggest.
I wanted to go get a master's, and I actually wanted to be a chiropractor at one point. But I, you know, track and field didn't allow me the space in that room to compete at that level and go to school. And then I, my final thing, like in 2019, I wanted to go to school to be orthopedic, an orthopedic occupational therapy.
See?
What happened was when they started talking about the school, it started to have a scare on me, but I was confident with it. And then COVID came and a whole lot of stuff came. So I was going through a transition stage of just leaving the Bahamas and really going into it because working, you know, 9 to 5, I when I look at the degree and what I could do actually make money on telling you how to sit down in a chair and corporate, on a corporate level, you know, mm-hmm. how to position yourself at home and certain things.
Because you're a professional athlete, so you should get that by experience, because mm-hmm. you're traveling the world and seeing those.
This is what got me. I'd have to do the 2 years, and then I have to come back again and do another 2 years just to get the doctorate. And I'm like, what?
The thing is,
4 years from my thought process, I'd have been a graduate.
Yes, time going right fast. Now. You see how fast these Fridays come in? Yeah.
I was in the cruise and maritime department when I was actually leaving, and I had a mentor, Carla Stott, was just like motivating me because she has so much degrees. She don't even talk about them.
She's
so smart. She just don't talk about
most people. With she's got a law degree, don't.
You know. And I was inspired by her. And I literally would go by her house and we'd have conversations on it. So with her brilliance, we have a lot of conversations because like I said, I'm using you, and she looked at me like, what? Like, technically, I'm using you. You know, I save, and the first thing our conversations are about God. So I say, hey, look, I'm living for God, and I'm saving myself in such a way. So I said, I'm using you because I need what you got. So, could we use each other because our programs
all have no choice, Nate.
We benefit off each other. We benefit huge off each other.
If we don't,
because I don't think no one on this island have done more tournaments than us within a 4-year period span.
Yeah.
We would do 6 in 1 year. And I talking about we have numbers and we never promote. We never use airwaves. And we have the airwaves and we never promote.
No.
If we do, it would be too much. But nobody hardly gives money except for the people within our communities and some of my friends within the corporate world. And we're fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but the reality is, we pull from one another. And when I met you, I was like, hey, I got to pull from you. So I started reading a book on vision. And then we started a book club, by the way. Mm-hmm. We got a little book club. So we have a little book between us. It's
personal. That's when you brainstorm. So, stop them and positive, do positive. Just develop.
So it's just like pulling, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this is where you got to be yoked with people because you got to pull. And when directions change, it's just, you know, you was a street guy for years. And then you started doing tournaments and everything. But we're so fascinated. But with Scrooge is that Scrooge was the first NIGGA on a billboard.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was on a poster billboard. And it wasn't wanted. It was like giving you a message. And it was a highlighted billboard. So when you come from the airport into the fish fry area where all the guests, you will see this fella with this big happy smile. But that's a former gangster, right?
Yeah.
On a billboard. So all that is change, you know? All that is like basically.
And that was on behalf of the then Minister of National Security, Tommy Tornquist. He said that he followed me. He feel that I've changed my life and concerned about the country. And he asked me a question. He said, I want to work with you at the Ministry of National Security. And this is how I gave back, and this is how I was used my influence as a person came from the street, just like what you're doing now with your program. And when I introduced myself, I told him my background, I told him Tony McCreston, this is what he told me, the Minister of National Security. He told me, I want to use you as an inspiration to others. And he said, what I want to do with you is I want to promote you around the country and around the world to use you as a poster for the Ministry of National Security. But he said, I got a question to ask you. He said, I truly believe that you change your life around, but I ain't too sure. He said, what if I go and vouch to you, to my boss, which is the prime minister that was honorable, Hubert Alexander Ingram, the former prime minister who served 3 times in the country. And I said to him, sir, just by you sitting down here with me and giving me the opportunity to sit down with you, the second most powerful man, the third most powerful man in the country, and if I could talk to you to make some changes that could help affect the changes in the inner city community when it comes to marijuana possession, poverty and crime, but I'd be more than honored. And I wouldn't mess up because I know if I mess up, no one ever in this country ever again is going to challenge somebody with my kind of background. So I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to be on my best behavior. And I was on my best behavior. And then he talked to the prime minister and they put my poster all over. Even in the U.S., they put the poster up.
Awesome. You know?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes. But your Girls Empowerment Program is most important for us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It's even important in the U.S. But we are the same people. We come from the same background, we have poverty over there, we have poverty over here, we have the same issues. And we need all creative minds, mm-hmm. you know, that can actually change the mindset and change the way we think and to change people's lives. We are more than happy for you to be a part of our beautiful country. And I'm going to assure you, Nate is the person who is going to even push even more, because that is just him. And this is a very educational program, very beneficial program. Because I always said, we so focus on the males, mm-hmm. but we not focus on the females.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on the females and programs, teaching them healthcare, teaching them depression, teaching them about substance abuse. You know, this is very important. And yeah. then you also going to empower them. You know, that's amazing. You have any family, friends who probably listen to the show, would you like to say hi or...
Hi, too. I don't have anybody specifically. I'm just thankful and honored to be here and wow. to be able to engage with the people of the Bahamas. And looking forward to a long partnership here. That one day, when I'm long, far, and gone, and transition on to heaven, that the program will still be in existence.
Oh, yeah, that, we all know we're going to die. See, real set of people know they're going to die, okay? We're all going to die. What you actually saying? She hopes that the program continues to change lives. You see, you have a goal while she's on this earth. That's a bigger purpose. Your purpose is to make an impact on the lives of the less fortunate and to see if you can change those lives. And that's our job as long as you're here.
Yeah.
You know, that's our job. So we're not finished. So Ms. Moore, you talk about so many different components about the program.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the females that you are going to be training, you said the program's going to be 1 week over here.
Yes.
Okay, so where is this program going to be held? You have any idea or y'all not decided
can
yet?
Can I speak to her?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, so I introduce her to a few of the girls you might be familiar with. Lovey, my God, Leah involved with the program. Bappy. Bappy is... Bappy's daughter would be a part of it. Bappy from the Junk in the Shop.
We're cooking Bappy.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
So Bappy would be his daughter. So and then I had Becky and Leah. The Leah is a 4.0 student,
yes,
graduate from Valedictorian. Lovey have great potential, a plan and a desire to be a nurse.
Yeah.
So that was a good.
That was a good
introduction. So with this group of girls, I'm very selective at this point, because if you're looking for sustainability, mm-hmm. I'm not disrespecting anyone at all, but we're going to be selective because
you have to.
We at this point, when we have the foundation must be laid properly, mm-hmm. and those who I have a history with the kids, that's where I want to be. So I can adopt probably 4 other girls mm-hmm. loosely from someplace else. But we have so many young ladies in our community from the age 12 to 16 that really, really needs yes. the moral support and yes. the mental sharpening. Now, we have some of the kids that are very sharp. But the thing is where they're trying to go. So the first the first day of initiative is actually mental health, mental.
The first one would be mentorship.
So that's a good thing. That having someone around you that actually care and you feeling about.
That's
so
important.
We would try to our location. I would keep that kind of like close right now because I can get a hotel.
No, just take time.
We can do Atlantis.
You
can do. You know, I mean, like
you, man, you stay the green. You so. Come on,
We could do some.
You're a silver medalist and bronze medalist, man. You done been to Dubai for 5 months, man, bro.
So basically, like, you know, I was always taught at a middle part of my life. And I like I said, like, the way we do things, you know, we conduct business, Scrooge, mm-hmm. we are, you know, first class or no class, even though we from where we from.
Yeah.
But the kids are going to be decked out in a designer scrubs. She brought a sample the other day.
Stop that. Hold on.
They also
they get uniform and
yeah,
all?
Yeah, they getting designer scrubs.
I tell you. They
getting designer scrubs. They also getting from a black-owned company, mm-hmm. Manufactured. She also is one of the model agents for the company.
The model?
Stakeholder.
Who's model?
she modeled the clothing.
Oh, I can see.
And the footwear. The kids are going to get the footwear. So when I saw her outfit, I was like, man, I really like it. So, and it's different. It's almost like a joggers. Look at it. It's really nice. Do you have a picture with you in it?
Yeah.
So look at the shoes and everything. The kids are going to get the shoes, and they're going to get the teal color of Dream Chasers logo. Oh,
awesome.
Along with the
prints.
You should
see the picture.
Yeah. So it's just when we do it, we want to do it in a way.
This is very important, Nate.
Yeah. Like, we want to do it in a way, like, we want to do it big.
Yes.
We want to do it bigger than Dubai.
Yes.
So 50 now, tomorrow
Dubai.
It could be a million, you know?
You know Dubai is a duplicate of the Bahamas.
Yeah, so we have to do it big. We have to really be sharp, and it's not about money, but it's, at the end of the day, we need money to do it. We're not going to border with anyone in the Bahamas for a dollar.
No.
So we're just going to go with what we have, because we do have the resources.
And one of the suggestions.
I appreciate God for that.
And I know it's going to go to the next level. A program like this needs to get into primary school. So this is going to develop where you could get a primary school setting just to come and talk about the program, about hygiene, you know. And she talked about the different aspect of you know, the menstrual period, and, you know, that's going to be very important.
Something like what she doing, not taking anything away from her, is like she is who she is. But her thing is, you know, in her profession, she's really good, you know. So
I can see it.
The thing is, you know, she get paid for motivational speeches. So I wouldn't try to take anything away from
her. How come I can't get paid for the motivational speeches, man? That's crooked to Bahamas, you know. I need to go live in the States.
she have a price, but when it comes to our organization, we're in partnership. So we can use that brand or that entity or foundation or her foundation, but. You know, you have to pay for her time. Dr. Miles Manu didn't speak for free. So we're going to keep it in the line. And if it's a business opportunity, it's not about money for her at the end of the day, neither. It's not about money.
No.
But it's about respect for me. So, I mean, you know, you have a gift. And the Bible says your gift would make you sit amongst great men.
Great men.
That's so
the truth.
At the end of the day, we wanna show our patronage, or the way we are as Bahamians and hospitality, that we are not users, we're not suckers, we don't abuse things. So because our culture of being changing and diluted and polluted at the same time.
Yeah, sharing the love, the real love.
We need to be able to because I don't want anything for free. We need to be able to handle people in such a manner. Underneath the organization, everything is free. I never charge a child for a shirt. But when it comes to the her time, I would respect that. Anybody who wants that time or wanted to be facilitated, that if it's not through our program, to go ahead and have that one-on-one conversation. Because the platforms that you speak on, you know, it's like, I mean, golly. Like, if you see the faces that this young lady that actually speak to, the people that she speak to.
And then
minority, she's far beyond the bottom pit in terms of minority and color. So it ain't our color out there that you're speaking to, and these people listen. So John 4:4, a prophet's never accepted in his own hometown. But America, thank God for that. I mean, Jersey, that's as close as to Philly, but she's accepted. Tell them about the organization that you spearhead, that you lead right now, and tell them about the minority and majority of people, and how old is the program and what it is.
Sure.
And you got to see the class that they don't put you in a hotel. They don't put in a hotel like a regular hotel. No, they put in a panel suite, like stuff like that. So this is who's in the front of us that they speaking. You know what I'm saying?
He's so kind. But I do serve as the president of a national organization. We have over 12,000 women surf nurse practitioners in the U.S.
12,000?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's considered the smaller ones. Our bigger ones are like family MPs. They make up like maybe 70,000 nurse practitioners throughout the nation. So my profession, I told you earlier, the first black woman to hold the seat in an organization's 42-year history. But basically, this organization is the go-to organization and voice organization for women's health and nurse practitioners, as well as advanced practice nurses and healthcare providers who care for the women's health gender-related population. So I speak, so that talk you heard earlier, that was actually an international speech that I gave virtually for Dubai.
For Dubai.
Yeah, for Dubai in 2020. So I speak internationally about my areas of expertise as well as nationally. Within our organization, it's a predominantly white organization, probably 85 to 90% of our members are white. So I am the minority within the organization, but I lead that organization.
You're smart. You're helping. That's what you have to do. You have to do. You have to be able to have a group of the people and then use your influence to help others.
Yeah, and my goal is that that changes, though, right? So, like, I've been doing a tour with all of the other universities in the U.S. who have programs that are building up the next generation of advanced practice providers. So they know who I am, right? But not only they know who I am, I can identify the diversity within that group to encourage them to seek leadership roles, right? Mm-hmm. Early on within their career. I'm under 40, right? Had a great career, right?
You had a great career.
Yeah, and it's still going, and I'm so young.
You're doing well for yourself?
I'm doing well for myself. Wow. I'm blessed, right? Yes. And I'm always saying, man, I was a young lady from the inner city, right? And people look like my father. He always brag and boast, but like,
he's proud of you.
He's very proud. Very proud. Yes. But it's just like, I try to use my platform to show people, like, it doesn't matter where you come from.
You just work hard.
Yeah, you work hard. And you can make it to that next level, right? Yes. And I'm like, I have people from all walks of life who come to me, who look up to me, who want to hear me speak. I just talked to Nate today about, I just got my first royalty thing. I'm like, I get royalties for talking now.
That's cool.
Tell them about your past travels.
You're going to do the nine lines on your past travels.
I mean, let's talk about your travels now, where your talent, where your gifts is taking you now. Where's your next trip from here to January? Just to January. Don't go as far.
Okay, where am I? So once I leave here, I'm actually going to Iowa in the U.S.
Iowa.
Yeah, I'm talking about reproductive health, equity, and justice for the American Nurses Association.
Mm-hmm.
So that conference is in Iowa this year. And then...
Man, you're doing some big things.
Yeah, then I'll be in Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Before Dubai, you'll be in Vegas, right?
Where am I?
She can't remember.
Vegas.
She can't even remember.
Vegas. No, that's just January 16th, Vegas.
Yeah. January. No, California.
Cali.
San Diego.
San Diego.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Nate, get all this out of you. Boy, you can talk, boy. You talk like party.
That's okay.
I have a gift.
Yeah, no, that's
I have
good.
A gift
that's
of
good.
Conversation to speak and so forth.
That's good.
But you know what? It was so interesting in one of our conversations. I saw something and it changed my life right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm inspired in so many ways by a lot of people and you're one of them, right? So I was on the phone and I don't have TikTok. I don't have a video. I have one video posted on TikTok and I'm not a fan of TikTok, but it's a distraction. And we always talk about distraction in the church. So I pick up my phone and we were sitting on and whatever. And I was like, look. And she nodded. And I was like, man, it's funny. And I was caught up from reading straight onto the phone and laughing. And she just nodded, saying, yeah, yeah. And I was like, but it's funny. She's like, I know. And I say, are you going to? And I was forcing the phone. It's almost like drugs. I was giving her the crack pipe, my phone. Like, go ahead and click on it. Go ahead and click. And she just nodded, like,
that's okay.
But this is what it is. Mm-hmm. These social medias, these little small mini platforms are distraction. That is totally distraction. And then I call up and I say, man, you help me. Because that has been a distraction when I focus, even in time of reading or something, and then all of a sudden some pop up and then I get lost into these zones.
Yeah.
So that's a good balance, you know, that's a good balance, man.
Yeah, but let me just talk about Dubai really fast and Abu Dhabi. I'll be doing an international exchange from December 2nd to 9th, all related to women's health, gender-related health care, just learning about what they do within their country and sharing what we do in the U.S. But I'm serving as a delegate for the Association of Women's Health, Obstetrics, and Neonatal Nursing. So I'm excited about that trip and that exchange.
She's under 40. But
under 40.
The thing is, in Dubai, the ambassador for Dubai, for the Bahamas, at Dubai, at the expo, was a 23-year-old girl, 26 or something like that.
the next person that you move on to was a 19-year-old kid. The next one you go to is like 20, 25. Then we go on to the elders, 34, 50 perhaps and so forth. Mm-hmm. But they hold ranked positions in the Bahamas.
You got to be 70-something.
Yeah, you got to be 99 to get a flipping position. To get a position, and it bothers me. And in America, I'm like a celebrity. I'm kidding. I kid you not. I'm like a celebrity, and I know that. And I'm very humble. Seriously, I'm humble. I just act normal amongst my peers because they respect me on a level. In the Bahamas, the dude would throw a handcuff on me so quick, just for looking at them hard. So, like yeah. I'm saying, man. Going down in Dubai, I wish you all the best on there. Just know that you're a lady. The way you dress and everything is very appropriate. So you have no problem with blending in with that community, except for in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. You just got to be a little bit more covered over the head and so forth. But Dubai is a free country. Mm-hmm. Dubai itself is seven Emirates. So Dubai is safe. It's really safe. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, do what you like. I don't intentionally leave your phone, but I have done it like 3 times in the taxi because I was so relaxed and I got my stuff back. So Dubai is, Dubai is almost like the old Bahamas in not in hospitality, but in terms of crime related.
Sure, safety.
Yeah, tourist safety. Mm. You know, right? Yeah.
Wow, it's crazy.
You have a great time.
So you're traveling the world, so. You know, we would have been watching the forum of where you're going to be speaking. We wouldn't even know that was you. Now, when I look on the TV, I'd probably check and I'd say, well, you got radio. And she have a program here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. But now they want you to take this into consideration what's going to happen. You know, you're starting off from scratch, you and the lady. And eventually, you're going to end up with a center. You see, this is how it's going to take. You're going to end up in the center, and then it's going to go from there. Trust me, you know, just keep on pushing, you know. Just keep on pushing. Start it, because right now we have a nurses shortage in the country. Mm-hmm. We need nurses to be trained properly, especially in the hospitality, you know, because there are many nurses and stuff like that. But, you know, there are good nurses. Then we also have to talk about the aspect about hospitality, you know, because you're dealing with people who have ailments. You know, they may be asking you a question, but when you're so frustrated, you know, you see some things, or, you know, et cetera. So I guess you're all going to cover that also because, you know, the nursing industry and et cetera comes in hospitality. And I guess that comes again with, let me go to the notes. It comes again with
education. Mm-hmm. That's what the number one. Yes, that was the pyramid. I think they didn't look at you couldn't see the chart, but I saw Scrooge taking notes, and I was hoping that he was going to touch education because I saw him wrote it down.
Yes.
And then, but education is so important.
Yeah, because she explained all of it together.
Education is so important.
She explained all of it together. That's why she talked about the menstrual period and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's when we talked.
Scrooge, not to touch you like that in your past, because she really don't know you on that level, but Being a former gangster was like, it was real back in the day. And he actually graduated from high school.
Awesome.
you don't be a bad boy and graduate, you know.
Yeah, no choice.
Like on the street.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no choice.
So we had some good mentorship from
the older people in the neighborhood.
With the guy, Principal Newbold and those guys.
Billet Bar.
We had to be tough to deal with deal with this generation.
We got a call on the line, so we're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City, and you get Nate the Great and Miss Moore in studios. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Fine, sir.
Okay, Scrooge. Yeah. You and Nat and your lady guest, yeah. What I had to say is, a lot. You know, I live in Bay for 25 years plus. Let me turn down my radio. And, you know, I live in the United States and I live in Canada, but I went to a seminar in Canada, and that's where I've learned that men usually get breast cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, and I came back home and I told some of my friends, I said, I warned some of my friends about that. It gets so historical. They couldn't believe it, that man does get breast cancer.
Mm.
I wonder what the young lady have to say about that.
Yeah, so breast cancer can occur in males. Where I practice at clinically in the U.S., we do a screening. And one of the questions we ask in terms of individuals have an increased risk for development of breast cancer if they had a male family member who did have breast cancer. So wow. Not common, but breast cancer can occur in males.
Wow. I call it. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. You know, that's, I just want to put that little one in there. You know?
Okay. Confirmation.
Confirmation. Yeah. Education is very important.
Okay.
Hey, your brothers ain't clowning you no more.
Thanks very much, man. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's true.
The information is power, no knowledge. Yeah. And you know, you can go biblical if you want, mm-hmm. but you must. Sometimes you just got to hear it from some people.
And sure. That's why we need programs like this in the inner city community. Because when a young female comes and she asks this question, mm-hmm. what a man should, you'd have the education in the program there. And then you could get supplies.
Right.
You know, it's just important because she talked to me, she asked the truth.
I told you, like everything is divine. When I told her, I said, man, I deal with these girls in the program. And I would tell them because I sound harsh, you know, because, you know, you're dealing with numbers. And I'd be like, hey, hands up, who bid? And if the young girls don't bid, I send them back upstairs because we got a protocol. The girls got to bid mm-hmm. when they come to the program because I witnessed when I was younger. And I just couldn't put in scientific terms because sure. we speak different. And I say, man, if y'all ain't bidding, they could put their hands up there. This is true. Excuse me, I never have to play with them because I had them every day. I say, y'all ain't bid. You got to go back upstairs. The girls got to bid. But how I did it was I'd be like, a point. And then mm-hmm. because I know what that scent was like when I was young.
Sure.
I saw that blood coming down the leg. I saw these things. And I was like, look, I don't want y'all to ever be targeted for the rest of your life mm-hmm. and shut down in the house because the boys, them, see you.
Yeah.
So you being able to put it together,
it's a very important program we need. We have the mentor program for at-risk young boys, and we need a program for females mm-hmm. in the inner city community, in the schools, and in the country at large, and programs exactly we need. You know, everything about the border. These things are lacking in our community. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Sustainable programs.
And sustainable programs. And we have someone who actually
is a
trained professional.
Right.
And she has the avenue to vouch for us here in the country.
I wish they would actually see we in the Bahamas.
Take time.
We are population of 400,000 plus people and counting. The expats that come in this country, majority of them are black. Mm-hmm. The people with less money are black. The majority of the population, 89% or 90% are black.
Yes.
And I Scrooge would always say, boy, this girl here, and people would say, I hang around a lot of beautiful faces with women. And there's a reason why I always brought them to the program. Because some people gotta see your face. Mm-hmm. They gotta see the uniqueness within the way God made you as a beautiful black woman. Mm-hmm. That's affirmation and confirmation at the same time.
Yes.
That if they don't see your face, they will continue to put these creams on their
yes.
body.
Mm-hmm. You're a teacher.
You dark, that's and
cancer.
You're beautiful, and you ain't playing.
Oh, that's cancer.
And, you know, and you right. off the chin. You know, that's what Pastor Grandin say. You off the chin. But yeah. you off the chain, and the thing is, we need the young men need to see us, because when we fluff through and we walk through these areas, they need to see that hey, it's okay to have your pants higher on your hip, mm-hmm. it's okay for you to you know to look a certain mm-hmm. way, and it's depressing to see that our young girls are now
All right.
downhill in the way they feel about themselves.
Sure. All right, we got one more caller. Honestly speaking, we're completely out of time. Honestly speaking, okay? So what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna let you get your message in real quick, if you could, please. Go ahead, Carlo. You're on Inside
Inside. How you doing?
I'm fine. Yes.
Just want to suggest perhaps once Nate and his colleagues set up the program, they want to consider the urban renewal centers to set up so it could be in their various communities. You know, from the first crop
because I think you could even do community nursing with the elderly once they've been trained properly. So just wanted to put that two cents.
Yes, good, yes. Love the show. Yes. See, this is an excellent suggestion. I said grow.
I think Dr. Moore would be more than glad and likely to put a proposal before the government.
That's exactly what it is, because each of these impoverished communities needs program like that, because females don't have the essential. You're talking about the bag and all the stuff what they're going to receive, and then the education they're going to receive.
Carla, if you see Dr. Moore looked like a regular girl from Being Done.
Yeah, that's why I laugh.
I tell you the truth.
You know, see when she came in?
She looked like Sabrina? Yeah.
I was thinking of Sabrina.
She looked like she from right around the corner.
Because she we all the same.
She was 34.
We all the same.
She ain't even 40 yet. Yeah, but then you leading the World Health Organization within your ranks. Mm-hmm. You're leading the team.
So she can make a big difference.
And you're the president. That's right. The president.
So you know that? You see the connection?
Of a 42-year-old program.
Yeah.
And
the majority of the persons there are white. That tells you something. That's special.
Yes. She amazed everyone there because she really wanted it. Coming from the inner city community. Yeah. Once you're from the inner city community, you have an opportunity to better yourself, knowing that you could help your mom or help someone in your family to better yourself, to live better.
Yeah.
She took that opportunity. You have to take the opportunity when it presents itself.
Yeah, they say, I'm sorry if I'm using too much Bible quotes, but they say, how would you know if you didn't hear from a pastor? How would you didn't know if you didn't hear from a nurse? Because I can't tell you some of the things that she's saying. You see the fellas getting tears because he said, boy, breast cancer in men. And regardless if they might have seen it, but confirmation. Yeah. It's true.
You sound like you're rhyming.
Oh, yeah?
You sound like you're rhyming. Even though you rhyme your style, though. That's right. You rhyme your style. You rhyme your whole life.
I probably being
you ain't even see you rhyme your whole life. Your style. What is your situation? You rhyming?
I gotta hear it.
You rhyming now?
I don't know. You got me all in my
head. Yeah. You rhyming. You embarrassed now. I told you, rhyming. You going like, what? Listen.
I feel embarrassed.
That's in the spirit. That's in your spirit. So I wanna say, this is gonna be a wonderful program. We have someone who has a position in the U.S. willing to help us here in the country to bring a wonderful program, empowerment, girls empowerment program. Anything that deals with at risk or females at the whole, not even at risk, but just the opportunity to help the less fortunate in the country, to be able to have programs deal with depression, substance abuse, you know? This is important because, like I say, our females are going off course, okay? And to get them back to reality, they need to be encouraged about other females who are doing things around the world. We're going to see this lady on the platform. Yeah. Now I'm going to sit down and watch this that lady being on the show, and she's doing a program right here in Nassau, New Providence. And then use the Guardian Radio to actually keep on promoting it, because these are the kind of stuff that I am interested in, because I know these are the programs we need to make a difference in our country. Because once we build up self-esteem in these females, you never know what opportunity is going to be available to them and where they're going to go. Okay? Yeah. I'm a prime example. You ever think I'm going to be a talk show host? or assisting the office of the prime minister and come up with programs that actually pass as a legislation in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought that. Sitting down and talking to the commissioner of police, talking to the prison superintendent, the prison commissioner, talking to the minister of national security. I never thought these things. I was on the end of the stick.
Yeah.
But as I understand that I have a greater purpose to serve, I use that opportunity to do some positive stuff. It's remarkable. So I want to say thank you, Ms. Moore. You want to say to your friends?
Well, I just want to big up Mr. McKinney. I think he's done an exceptional job here in the Bahamas. So I'm just grateful to be his partner and to be in his presence and to be able to build upon the work that he's so diligently led his heart and passion and drive towards. So big up to Mr. McKinney today.
And I want to guarantee you, in a year or 2 years' time, this program here, Girls Empowerment, is going to be one of the top programs in the country. And I want to say this to the general public. I hope you enjoy the show. I want to say this again to our Prime Minister, David Attenborough, right, who passed away. He talked about climate change, right? He said these things, okay? He talked about the animals, deforestation, North Pole melting, if we do certain things, cutting on the Amazon in Brazil, digging for oil in various different countries around the world. He said these things, if we don't take care of Mother Earth. And what we must remember, the Earth It's a living organization. Mm-hmm. I mean, a living organized. What you call it? Organism. Organism. Yeah. Right? Means it's living. And it's the mother to all of us, to the mosquitoes, to the humans, to every each of the animals, to every particle that we could probably imagine, right, comes from Mother Earth. Okay? So, to me, from my message to the Prime Minister, you're speaking on climate change, sir, stop the oil drilling. Because when you dig in the earth, you're taking the blood out of the earth, and then you're going to use it to put in the cars, which actually pollutes the air. And this in turn goes into the seas and pollutes the ocean, kills the trees. And then when we cut down the trees, trees make oxygen. Okay? So let's preserve. And then when we're going to build real estate, make sure that when we build, we say we're going to build 100, 200 houses or 500 houses, but we want to make sure that we leave the trees, or build up or something, but make sure that we take care of the trees, okay? Let's take care of the seas and the fishing industry and everything else, okay? I should remember that. So, Mr. Prime Minister, you, we don't need no oil drilling. If you're talking on climate change, if you're looking to say you want to make a difference in the world, and you're speaking good on the matter, we don't need no oil drilling in this country. And protect all natural habitats. Protect our land and sea parks. Protect our waters from pollution. Protect the Nassau from all the derelict vehicles, the abandoned houses, and all the filth that we're cleaning up now in the country. Okay? Let's protect Mother Earth. So I'd like to say to my guests, Ms. Moore, Nady Great, you guys did wonderful. And hope to see the program climb to its true potential. And to the general public, I hope you like the show, and we'll see you next week on Inside In the City. And again, Ms. Moore, thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your trip in Nassau, and thanks for the wonderful opportunity that you provide, even though you're a visitor, but you're a humanitarian, and you're here to bring some help here to the Bahamas, and we really appreciate you and your team of people who are assisting us here in the country with this wonderful program. And I'm like I said again, this program, you're going to see in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about the time and make a difference in our country.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
So to all my listeners, you have a wonderful Friday night and enjoy yourself the best way as possible. And see you next week on Inside In the City. I'm Valentino O'Brien. See you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
In town, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, I don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason. Only God that I believe in.